The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported last month that Wisconsin was second in the nation for attempts to recall local school board members. Disagreements over how race is taught in school drove a nationally watched recall election in the Mequon-Thiensville school district. Those recall attempts fell short last week, but they represent a growing focus on education in elections up and down the ballot in Wisconsin and around the country. We're finding out why education is becoming a big political issue and what it means for kids and their schools. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is education a front-of-mind voting issue for you? Have you participated or voted in one of the local school board recall efforts in Wisconsin? If you're a parent, a teacher, a student, what do you make of the political fights over schools and what they teach and how they teach it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Rebecca Jacobson is an expert on education politics and a professor in the College of Education at Michigan State University. She's co-author of the book Outside Money in School Board Elections, The Nationalization of Education Politics. Rebecca, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you wrote that book before this year and all this focus on education in elections. What do you make of what we're seeing this year in recent elections?
I think it's really interesting, the growth of interest in local school board elections. For so long, it was really hard to get anybody to pay attention to them. And that was actually one of the main criticisms of school board elections, was that they were these sleepy, off-cycle elections that nobody paid much attention to. And boy, has that changed.
There are a few different issues on people's minds. First, how schools handled the COVID-19 pandemic, issues about how schools teach about race. What do you think is driving so much interest here?
I think some of it is being driven by national organizations that are telling local parents and local community members that this is something they should be paying attention to. I think that parents have long paid attention to what's going on in their particular child's education, but we're certainly seeing more messages to people generally that we should be really concerned about what our schools are doing. And so I think that some of this is a nationalization effort, at least national actors trying to influence local schools.
What were you seeing before 2021 when you wrote your book, for example? How did money start to flow into local school board elections?
Yeah, one of the things that we stress in the book is that this is not a phenomenon that happens everywhere. But when it does happen, it often becomes a heated focus and a battle from the left and the right, or from one side and another side. When we were looking at the issues, one of the main polarizing topics was school choice, and things like teacher tenure and student accountability and teacher accountability. It seems like that topic has shifted, but some of the same sort of polarization and really strong stances where local communities can't seem to be able to talk across issues with one another, much like we see at the national level, is now happening at the local level as well.
That's elections. How about recalls? We had, as I mentioned, a district in Wisconsin fall short in a recall effort. Other efforts failed to get it on the ballot. We're hearing other states around the country. How common is it to see recall movements for school boards?
Yeah, they're not very common at all. And even in this particular year, where there were certainly far more than typical, it still wasn't very common. There still weren't very many across the country, though there was a sharp uptick in the number compared to previous times. And again, I think that comes from this nationalization, where there were messages to parents and local community members saying, this is one of the strategies that you should be using if you are unhappy with your school boards. And so rather than promoting, you know, go and talk to them, figure out what's going on, observe the classes, one of the things that they were pushing was this idea of recalls. And so I think that's why we saw this sharp uptick this year.
WPR talked to a former school board member in that district, Mequon-Thiensville, who opposed the recall. Here's a listen to Paul Bazell.
Avoid every temptation to make it political, because you're going to turn off the people who otherwise could support the schools.
So a desire there for school boards to avoid making things political. But it seems like, again and again through American history, politics does find its way in there one way or another.
Certainly it does. And our schools are a really important institution to us. But I do think that what we're seeing now is different than what we used to see. In fact, one of the complaints about school boards was that so often votes were unanimous, right? That people were able to get to consensus or sometimes, you know, complete agreement on issues. And that some people took that as a sign that the school boards weren't doing their job, right? They were just sort of rubber stamping things or were slow to change. School boards were often a places where there was a lot of pragmatic decision making. And unfortunately, I think now we're sort of seeing the polar opposite of that, where we have some members who take extremely rigid stances in one way, other members who take extremely rigid stances other ways. And then you see this sort of swing back and forth. You know, when we were looking at the elections in our work around school choice, we would see slates of people that were elected that were very much about promoting school choice. The other side would mobilize, and in comes a new, you know, a new group of school board members, and then the policies would swing to the other side. And I think that that is really difficult for both the schools to react to, but also for the public. And I think that your clip really demonstrates this concern about turning off the public. We need parents and the public to support our schools, and I worry that we're turning them off with all of this polarization that we're seeing.
Talking to education professor Rebecca Jacobson from Michigan State University, looking at the politics of education. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are things looking like in your community, in your local school district? Things going smoothly, or are you seeing some of these political divisions over how schools are run, how things are taught, how they handled the pandemic? Is this an important issue for you in races, not just for school board, but for Congress or governor or beyond? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. I saw an interesting poll, Rebecca, from Monmouth University. They asked a couple questions, among many others, about teaching about race in schools. When they asked, do you want to teach about the history of racism in the United States? A substantial majority of people said, yeah, do that. When they asked, do you want to teach critical race theory in schools, a minority supported that. What do you think about the debate over race and how it's taught in schools?
I think it's getting really confusing for people to understand what do these different terms mean and what does it mean for what my child will understand, what my child will think about themselves, and what my child will think about others in the world. And I think that's the really sad part, is that we can get a lot of polarization when we use terms like critical race theory. But really underneath that, as you mentioned, most people want to see schools that are talking about equity and fairness and, you know, trying to eliminate racism. And I think that we're losing sight of where we do have a lot of common ground as we continue to use these polarizing and charged terms.
A lot of what happens in the classroom doesn't have anything to do with the teaching of race or pandemic preparedness or a lot of these divisive issues. A lot of it's just the practical stuff of keeping a classroom running and teaching kids. Do you worry that the political divides over this end up affecting the quality of education for kids?
I think it really does have the potential to have a very chilling effect on teachers, especially teachers who are teaching history or social studies, or when events happen in the world or their local community and kids come in with questions. I think when we have such polarization and quite frankly, such sort of sometimes nasty rhetoric coming from all different directions, that teachers are going to be really wary of stepping into those spaces and going off script. And I think that means that we're going to see some pretty boring teaching where teachers just stick to what is approved, what's in the lesson plan, and not really responding to where kids are at, what they're interested in, what they're asking teachers, you know, somebody they really look up to for advice and thoughts about. And I think that's where we're going to really lose out on some of those, what we sometimes call teachable moments, right? Those opportunities where some of the best and most exciting learning can happen. And I'm not sure where else this could happen. Where else do we have spaces to come together and discuss these things, if not in the schools?
I'm seeing individual reports, some districts around the country taking books off of school library shelves, often ones that deal with issues of race and sexual orientation, often by authors of color or gay authors. Do you see this as a widespread trend? Have we seen this before, or is this just kind of a few anecdotes here and there?
I don't think it's just a few things here or there. I do think it's concerning, but I don't think it's all that new. We have seen schools become a flashpoint for culture wars before. It used to be around issues of evolution. That was certainly a point where a lot of times you saw school boards having some pretty heated debates about what should be taught in the science curriculum. Sex education has long been a point also of heated debate, but this topic of race being the point, I think, is what is new. But these heated debates over what we teach and how we teach it are not necessarily new.
Rebecca Jacobson is with us, expert in the politics of education at Michigan State University. She's with us today to talk about education as a political issue in recent elections, some of the driving forces behind that trend, some school board recall efforts. It's been cited education has as a big issue in the Virginia governor's race outcome. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think schools did in handling the pandemic with some remote education along the way, or the things you wish they had done better? Are you fired up one way or the other about how issues of race and racism are taught in schools? Are you paying a closer eye on your local school board elections? Is education a voting issue that gets you interested in other races for state legislature, Congress, and beyond? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Rebecca Jacobson, professor of education at Michigan State University. She's with us today for a closer look at what's driving a focus on education in recent elections in Virginia and New Jersey and here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are things pretty harmonious in your community, in your local school district, or do you see some of the divisions that are popping up around the country? Have you been involved in a recall effort, pro or con? Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. James is with us in Green Bay. James, hi.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. So we're talking about kids today learning about equality and learning about recent history. I know a lot of very unpleasant elderly folks. And for a lot of these folks, what was current events when they were in high school is now history. Maybe they were on the wrong side of it. There's still people alive that threw rocks at Ruby Bridges for going to school. There's still people alive who thought a good old Friday night in the 80s was to hang out outside a gay bar and beat up homosexuals. I think a lot of these people are uncomfortable with their kids and their grandkids learning about equality, and I think maybe that should make them uncomfortable.
James, thanks for the call. Rebecca, what do you think of that perspective?
I think that that's one of the challenges of schooling, is that oftentimes, you know, it can be used as a force to change society and move it forward. And that can make people uncomfortable. And so I think that, you know, your caller makes a really good point that some of what's happening maybe is good. I also think that parents have a right to be concerned about what's happening and know what's happening in their child's education.
James, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Heather joins us now in the greater Milwaukee area. Heather, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking this call.
What do you want to bring up, Heather?
Yeah, so you asked about any experiences with board decisions during protocol for COVID. I feel like the school board has done an amazing job with all of the protocols and trying to keep education going, but also trying to stay safe. They did a great job last year. I was surprised when they came out with an announcement that just explained a new protocol for this year, one of which gave the option to not wear masks at school. And I was curious, where did this come from and how did you get to this conclusion? And I went back to the board meetings that they recorded. They were making some decisions, but for some reason, when they got to that decision, They were no longer recording it, and it was just a few board members in a room. It didn't look like there was, I wondered if I missed a memo or was there any kind of parental involvement in this decision? And it was very baffling to me and my husband how they came to this. I mean, I think it ended up working out okay, where they're trying to please a lot of different parties, but it was kind of alarming.
Heather, thanks a lot for that call. And I'm guessing, Rebecca, Heather is not alone. Whatever people thought of a school district's ultimate decisions on COVID policies, a lot of people maybe caught off guard, not feeling like they were heard, not seeing transparency. How big an issue do you see this being?
I think this really also reflects that, you know, most of our locally elected school board members, this is often their first entree into local politics. Many of them have no desire to go on to higher offices. They're doing this out of a civic good and civic duty, a commitment to their community. And yet we've placed on them some very heavy decisions, things that we would have never expected years ago, you know, local school boards to have to be grappling with. And I think that's part of what's going on, is that these boards are really just overwhelmed and trying to figure out how to navigate this. And then sometimes that looks like waffling decisions or uncertainty, and all these different things come to the foreground. And so I think we need to remember that, you know, many times these are just our local neighbors that are really trying to do the best they can. And we really wish state government or federal government was providing them more guidelines rather than pushing it all down to them.
Thanks for that call, Heather. And yeah, that I got that sense a lot, Rebecca, not just with schools, that local things were looking for some kind of guidance from on high, state or federal government, not getting it. And with school boards, I know there's a lot of emphasis on local control and local decision making. Do school boards get stuck in difficult situations often because of that conflict, I guess, wanting that guidance, but having it left in their laps?
I think in a lot of places, you know, when there's agreement, it's great. Local citizens get to have a lot of influence. These are their friends and neighbors. They have lots of access to them. It's a lot harder to meet with your state representative than it is to bump into your school board representative at the local grocery store, or to be able to drive down their street and look for them and knock on their door. And so in some ways that provides a really wonderful democratic opportunity. But you know, it also means that they're now faced in this kind of environment with decisions that they were really never prepared to take on.
Talking to Rebecca Jacobson from Michigan State University, looking at the politics of education. Rebecca, with the issue of parental input, what is the most effective way for school boards to take that input and put it into practice, knowing that parent A might want something very different than parent B in the same district?
Yeah, and that's the real challenge, especially in districts where there's a large range of opinion, a lot of diversity, whether that's racial or class or just, you know, diversity of opinions. And so I think that's probably where we're seeing a lot of these heated debates are places where there isn't a prevailing opinion. So I do think it's really important that parents have access to these public meetings, that there's opportunities for public comment. But I also think that parents and public members have an opportunity or have a responsibility to engage in meaningful conversation, something that we've not had a lot of opportunity to do during COVID. But we need to get back to a place where we can respectfully disagree and remember that our schools are for everyone. It's not just about my child's education. It's really about what is for our community, and the roles that schools play for our entire society. And that might be different in the public good than it would be for what I would love for my exact child.
We've focused a lot, Rebecca, on school board politics. Now, we have this Virginia governor's race. At least some of the exit polling suggests that education made a big difference, helping put the Republican candidate there over the top. What do you think of education as something that could sway elections and not just for, you know, those school boards?
Yeah, I have often, I teach politics of education. One of the things that I often say to my graduate students is, I would really love for education to be less on the radar, because then you can actually take some time to figure things out and take some time to implement policies and have the opportunity to have a little bit of failure, but enough time to make it work before everybody's demanding new change. So I am concerned that, you know, on the one hand, it's great that we're focused on our schools. I think our schools are critical. We want to have everybody engaged and investing in them. But on the other hand, I worry that this is going to lead to more reform, a faster cycle of reform, such that we really just kind of end up not getting a whole lot of good done because we don't give anything a long enough chance to work itself out.
We just had really a handful of elections this year. What are you really watching for next in the politics of education?
I think school boards are going to continue to be a really important place, even if this particular issue around critical race theory or masks and different protocols related to COVID begin to fade away, because we've tried for a long time to change education from the federal level and push down. And what we've really realized is that if there's no local buy-in and local leaders aren't really engaged, we can't make a whole lot of difference. And so I think we need to figure out better ways to work with local leaders, but without co-opting them or just sort of using them in our national politics. I think there can be a lot of wisdom at the local level, and maybe going back to some of the slower, more pragmatic decision-making might actually do us some good.
We'll leave it there. Rebecca, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Rebecca Jacobson, professor in the College of Education at Michigan State University. She's also co-author of the book Outside Money in School Board Elections, The Nationalization of Education Politics. She joined us today to talk about a growing focus on education in elections up and down the ballot, including school board recall attempts here in Wisconsin, and the role the issue could play in the future.